Mr. Jewett, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Jewett?
I was born in Aldershot, literally between army blankets, because my father was attached to the army and I was born in the military hospital. In 1923, on the 21st of August.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Oh yes, they came later, of course. I had three brothers at first, and then two sisters. But one of my sisters died.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was actually a male nurse. He was in the Royal Army Medical Corps, and he signed up to become a male nurse sometime around about 1922-23. And he went into private service, and where he nursed quite a few famous gentlemen. One I remember was called Forbes of the shipping group. He was a sort of a personal male nurse to him for a number of years. Later, he became an employee of the London County Council at Plumstead at St Nicholas Hospital, and where he was first a gate porter, and then I think he was elevated to assistant labour master or something like that. But he was in the old poor law institution sort of staff, and that was the best when I can remember him best, of course, because that came a little afterwards when we moved to Eltham and later to Plumstead, and that's the more or less early history of my life.
Had he served in the First World War?
Yes, he did. He was at Gallipoli, and he went to Mesopotamia in the Wolf War. After Gallipoli, he went to Mesopotamia in the rubble, my comrades. And he never talked about it, but he had a great admiration for the tribesmen on the northwest frontier, as indeed all the British troops did. And I think it was one of those, it seemed to me, getting the vibes from my father, that it was one of those conflicts that neither side enjoyed being in, because they had a lot of respect for each other. And that is actually fact, my father, or what I did get out of my father about the First World War.
did your mother work? Had she to work?
Yes, she did. I believe my mother worked at Woolwich Arsenal. She was, for a time, I don't know what she did, probably making bullets or something like that, I should imagine, but she never talked about it. But I know she worked at Woolwich Arsenal, and that was where she was for a short time.
Can you describe the area you were growing up in?
Well, yes, it's in two parts. First of all, my father went to Eltham, place called Kibrook Way. It's still there. I'm afraid it was almost the scene of a very violent murder. The recent kind of bandit that was murdered there was almost the scene there. But it was a very nice council area. And from there, Dad got the job with the LCC at Plumstead. And we moved to a place called Ceres Road in Plumstead, just behind Plumstead High School. Now, at Plumstead, I was dragooned into the Wolf Cubs, and I was also in the choir. I was very, very, my family are quite church people, and I became a member of the church choir at St. Nicholas Hospital, at St. Nicholas Church in Plumstead. It's a beautiful church, and the choir then, I suppose, there was about 30 of us, but we used to get paid every quarter, would you believe? The choir boys got paid. They got a bit of pocket money every quarter, and they were very, very well looked after. And I was gifted with a rather nice voice. And also, one of the things I found out while I was there was the fact that in the churchyard was my namesake, one of my predecessors, Captain Dewin. In fact, I think he was a rear admiral, but he was one of the captains with Nelson at Trafalgar. And his gravestone is to be seen in the churchyard at St. Nicholas Church in Plumstead. Because remembering, of course, that in those days Plumstead was a village, it wasn't overgrown into the metropolis. It really, strictly speaking, it's part of Greenwich.
And the people who lived in the area, what was the main work that they were doing?
Oh, I think most people were sort of good, honest, working class people. I couldn't say they were middle management or upper management as they talk about these categories today, but they were working class people, but very, very law abiding, I know my place sort of situation, you know. And they were, but they were, everybody was very happy and very neighbourly, and it wasn't anything like it is today, but they were very nice. Everybody took a pride in their houses. Funnily enough, they weren't council houses. Those houses which are in rows upon rows and upon rows are private, but invariably they were rented from private landlords. But my own families, they actually own the house. The house belonged to the family. So it's quite a mistake to think that they were not sort of a little bit affluent in those days.
So you would pay a rent for the house then?
Oh yes, I think my dad did, yeah. But they were quite comfortably off.
Can you describe the house that you lived in?
Yes, it was probably late Victorian. Well built. You see them by the thousand in London. Next to each other, adjacent to each other, terraced a whole along the long series road. There's a whole line of terraces, and it was a very, very smart road. Everybody was very proud of their front gardens and their paintings and everything. There was, and their general well-being. It was quite a nice place. For all it was working class, it was very sort of, people kept themselves right, as the saying goes. But from there, we moved to a place called. We moved from there to Eltham. We didn't stay long at Eltham, as I said before, and then went to Welling, where my when I went to Welling, I must have been about 7 or 8, I suppose, or 9, even 9. I can't be exactly right, but round about there we went to Welling.
Was that a similar area? No.
Dad bought a house. He bought a house. He paid. He paid £500 for this house that was built on one of the new estates at Welling, which is just outside London, but near to Bexley Heath. It's not far or far away from Plumstead itself. Pretty place, actually. And it was a new development around about 1935, 36. And Dad, of course, there was a lot of money in those days, you know, £500 in 1935, 36 was a great deal of money. But Dad paid for it, and we moved there into this posh new semi-detached 4-bedroom semi-detached house with a large garden at the front, a large garden at the back. Heaven only knows what it'd be worth today. I should think probably about 200,000, I should imagine. But in those days, in actual fact, the actual cost of the house was £500. And I went to Hook Lane School, which is a primary school.
And was this your first school?
No, my first school was the Gordon School at Eltham. A place called at Eltham. I don't know if it's still there now. I haven't been there for years. But whilst we worked there, I said one of my sisters died. My sister Kathy is buried. Two of my sisters died. They're buried in Eltham Churchyard, but we haven't been there for years and years and years. Well, obviously I live in Northumberland, got away from home. But they were babies then, you know, that sort of thing. So where do we get to?
Well, we're just starting on your school life. What are your memories of school?
Oh, they're very happy, actually. I'm very happy. I went to Foster's Endowed Church of England School first. That was my first school in Welling. And then I went there. They had the 11, what they call the 11 plus examinations. And there were only two kids in our school who came anywhere near passing, and I wasn't one of them. One of the lads was called Dennis Lippard, and I can't remember what the other one was. But none of us got through. So we went to this, when I was 11, we went to the Welling Central School, and I wasn't very much aware of educational systems. I think my father was a bit concerned because he wasn't very happy about this central school system. But I was in the upper A stream. What they had A, B, C, D and E streams in each year. And I found myself in the upper A stream where I was taught French and a very high standard of mathematics, algebra, geometry, French, and the things which one would expect in a grammar school. So I can't really, looking back on it, I had an exceptionally good education without realising it. Plus the fact that the artistic side of that school was remarkable. I've got a great love of music, classical music to this very day, which I, and verse, I write poetry, and which I thank this school for, the central school for, because the headmaster, a chap called Freeman, he was always walked about with his cap and gown on, you know. And he was a Gilbert and Sullivan buff. Now, so every Friday afternoon, we used to sing, the school assembled in the hall, and about 450 in the boys, it was a boys' school, assembled in the hall, and they would sing all the latest things from, all the things from Bill, you know, Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, and all the bits and pieces from the various Gilbert and Sullivan operas, which I love to this very day. What I used to hate at the time, my form master, Alfie Ellis, and Padre, and the other one was Padre, they were Shakespeare buffs, believe it or not. And every week we used to have to learn a piece of Shakespeare. It was either a sonnet, and to this very day, I can recite Brutus and Mark Antony's speech from Julius Caesar. I can recite the sonnets to this very day. And at the time, we kids used to say, oh God, because he caught it. And we never knew he was going to drop on a Monday afternoon when we had to learn it for the previous week, you see. And it was sometimes a great piece of read, like a sonnet or something like that. And he would drop on any one of us to come out the front and recite this. We used to, you know what kids are like. But funnily enough, I've been left with an unbelievable love of Shakespeare, because for all we played Holy War, and I love verse, Shakespeare, and it was a very, very strong classical bent in that school. For all it was 1936, 35, 36, I don't know if the schools have got anything like that now, and sports as well.
I was going to ask you about
sport. I played football. I wasn't much good at it, so I played in goal. But what I was good at, and I represented the school as two things. One of them was in boxing, which was very, very useful in later life. But I represented the school against the scouts and all the rest of it for boxing. And the other one was gymnastics, because I used to like vaulting and pole vaulting and all the gymnastic things that go with in the gymnastics side, because they had a good gymnastics team. So it wasn't such a bad education, looking back on it. And for all, I didn't, unfortunately, and the masters of that school, bless them, they told us, and I didn't realise the impact of it, they hated losing us, because I left school at 14. And after 3 years, they'd had us for 3 years, and they'd seen us develop. And, you know, I was the head of my house. I was at the Gordon House, and I was head boy of the house, you know. But I was 14 when I left school.
What form of discipline was practiced in the school?
Very strict indeed. Boy, oh boy, you didn't have to be late. I was a prefect, actually. And when he became a prefect, one of your duties was gate duty. And any kid who was late used to take his name, and he got into trouble. He was in front of the hedge, you know, and you could get a cut on the hand, you know. It wasn't brutal, but the one thing which I did cop it for, I got caught scrumping, you know. And you do know what scrumping is? It's apples, you know, because Welling is in Kent, and there were orchards all round, and of course. In those days, The farmers didn't send the police or anything. None of us were on the phone. It was no good trying to phone your parents, because a phone was unheard of in those days, like a car. Nobody had cars, nobody had phones. But you got hauled up in front of the and I'm afraid I got a few on my hand over that. Some very serious things, but it didn't hurt. It was nothing, you know. All the tricks of the trade, we used to put orange peel on our hands, and I can remember that to this day. We used to put this orange peel on our hands, make it slide off. But who can? Never did anybody any harm. I think it was most one that, and I remember my I can remember Hopwood and all the and Gaffney and all my masters to this very day with the greatest of affection, because I knew, you know, that they thought a lot of us, you know what I mean. So there you are. There you have my schooling.
Would you say that you had a comfortable upbringing?
Oh yes,
at home?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Money wasn't a great problem.
No, we didn't have a lot of money. Good grief! I come from a large family, but my twin sister. Well, the other twin died, as I said, Iris, and we had a big park called Danson Park, and I spent my boyhood sort of. With other lads. I was in a gang, you know. I mean, a boy gang, not that sort of gang, you know. A boy gang, you know. And I think we had various ranks, corporal and sergeant. Probably the corporal was in charge of the sergeant, but I don't, but you know what kids are. They have these wonderful set-ups. And we used to spend the day living on whips and horses and things in Danson Park. And the funny thing is that we had our sibling sisters in prams. It was quite funny, actually, all these lads, you know, with their push chairs and with their sisters in with a bottle. Because Mum used to send us off with a bottle of pop and a packet of sandwiches, and they'd go and said, "I'll go for the day." And that was it. We'd come back about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, hungry, waiting for something to eat. And that was living in my... I remember that very, 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 very vividly, those days.
What other leisure activities did a small boy growing up do in...
Oh, well, pictures were fourpence, if you could get your fourpence, and football, of course, you belong to the school football team and things like that. By this time, I deserted the Cubs, which I joined in Plumstead, and I'd gone into the Life Boys, and I was in the 8th West Kent Life Boys. This was the junior boys' brigade, if you know what I mean. And it was quite military, actually. I learned to march and all sorts of weird and wonderful things in the Life Boys, because it was one of those sort of situations where... But I enjoyed my youth. Was very, very happy, actually, and very happy.
What uniform did you wear for the Life Boys?
Oh, just... well, you had a tag, and you had a sailor's hat with the Life Boys on the front, and... I believe we had a neckerchief chief as well, something, and a tag called the Life Boys on the side. And we thought we were it, you know, we were in the Life Boys, because we weren't in the Boys Brigade. The Boys Brigade all had bugles, and they used to play bugles and march up and down, but we hadn't. This was all attached to the church, because by now I had joined St. John's Church in Welling. I'd left St. Nicholas Church, where I was a choir boy. And I joined St. John's Church, where I was a choir boy. I became a choir boy in St. John's Church. And it was a lovely... St. John's Church in Welling is a lovely church. It was a new church then. It was on the fringe of Danson Park. And it was all quite a nice area, and probably still is. I should imagine it still is a very nice place to live.
Was there an emphasis on discipline in your life?
Oh, yes. Well, I think there was on everybody's life. In those days, everybody knew sort of how far they could go, and kids could too, but you had a great deal more respect for people such as your family. I mean, my family were a bit old-fashioned, because my Uncle George was the stage manager of the Winter Garden Theatre in Morecambe, and he knew Gracie Fields and Archie Pitts personally very, very well. And he was a most wonderful turn. But my family were that way. And we used to, whenever we got together, everybody had their party piece. My father used to be a lovely tenor voice. And they're the sort of things we used to do in those days. And every now and again, the family would get together and have a sing-song. Dad played the organ. He played it very well, too. And he really could play the organ, my father. and the banjo. What a queer combination. I can't. The only thing I can do is play hell. But I could sing, but I did sing. I've sung all over the place in later life. I'll be entertaining, not as a professional, such as in the Masonics and church parties, and Masonic lodges, all kinds of things. And latterly, I was the best one was when I sang at the Road to Mandalay at St. Thomas's Hospital, where I was employed. But of course, I'm digressing. I've just reminded myself whilst talking to you that whilst I was a boy, I was soloist at St. Nicholas Church Choir in Plumstead, and I actually sung in Rochester Cathedral, sung solo in Rochester Cathedral. But I wasn't in the cathedral choir, but they used to have a bun fight once every year or so, and I was fortunate enough. But back at St. Thomas's, they had this super charity concert in aid of the Nightingale Fund, and I volunteered because I knew I could sing all right, and let's say it went down very, very well. Everybody was very happy with it, so that was in later life. But anyway, we've got as far as Welling and Welling Central School, and I left school.
Before we come to that episode, or next episode, annual holidays. Did you get an annual holiday?
Oh, yeah, Dad. We had a funny... Well, Dad used to take us to a place called Sea Salter. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's near Whitstable. And Dad's friend at work used to have a chalet there, you know? And we went down to Sea Salter for a fortnight. The family, Dad took the family. Well, in fact, Dad's friend had the car, and he used to take us down there to Sea Salter, and Dad hired this place. And it was a most wonderful fortnight, you know. Can you imagine, you know, in those days there wasn't the traffic and all the rest of it. What wonderful, wonderful holidays we had at this place called Sea Salter, which nobody, I suppose, anyone has ever thought of and heard of, but... It was just a sort of a place with a lot of beach huts, which we were one of them, like, you know. And but it was great fun. They were the holidays we had, and of course the normal school holidays, which were spent in the way I told you, over at Danson Park. Later on, I was very fond of Danson Park. They used to have cost you a shilling, and you could hire a skiff. When I left school, I'm jumping the gun a bit now. But one of the things I used to love doing was rowing on an outrigger skiff. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, sometimes, I would go across to Danson Park, which was about a mile away, on my bike, because I had a bike. Oh, Dad, I was up in the... like me having a bike was like a modern kid having a car, you know. And I used to go for a row on the lake for an hour on these outrigger skiffs, single skiffs, you know. And it was wonderful. I used to love doing that. But, of course, I couldn't do it all the time because I had a paper round, you see. Like all kids, I had a paper round. You know, every kid in the world had a paper round. And I think, if I remember to this day, I think I got 6 shillings a week. Now, you know, 6 shillings a week was a lot of money in those days, believe you me. So I haven't started work yet, but I'm really talking about that period when I was at school, kicking tennis balls around the street. Nobody minded. You know, we used to play tennis with a tennis football with a tennis ball, you know, sometimes in the street. But nobody, it was one of those places that nobody seemed to mind, because there were wide streets, and, you know, got 3 or 4 kids in the street used to play. There were no cars, you know. There might be the odd car, you know, kicking around. Somebody had a car. Nobody cared much. And it was a different sort of life altogether to modern days. I don't know that people have it as good as we do then, you know. They say you never had it so good. I don't know, so I'm not so sure about that.
Were you affected, or was the family affected by the hard times, the general strike in the early late 20s, early 30s?
No, we weren't. Well, we probably might have been, but wouldn't know about it, because you've got to remember, Dad was telling me one time there were no jobs in the early 20s, you see, and when Dad became a male nurse, and that's how he answered this advert for Mr. Forbes, you know, Mr. Forbes, the shipping that measure. That was when I would be, I suppose, at Eltham, I should imagine. We lived at Eltham. But Dad answered it, and he was telling us on the way to the interview, he bought, on Charing Cross Station, he bought a book in W.H. Smith's on massage, Swedish massage. And he learned, this is rather funny actually, and he sat in the carriage reading this book on massage that he'd bought from Charing Cross Station, and how to do it and that, because he had been at REMC, of course. Anyway, he goes to for the interview, and the chap, Mr. Forbes, said, well, look, I want you to massage my back and my arms and so forth and see what he's like, see? So Dad duly performs according to the book, like he had the book in his back pocket, I suppose. And he said to Dad, well, that's wonderful. What school did you come from? Dad was perplexed. He said, well, I have to tell you, I'm self-taught. No matter, he got the job. So that was the kind of job he had. Because they lived at Brighton, in North Street in Brighton for some time. Because Dad, I always remember getting a ride in a Rolls Royce at Brighton. I suppose it was a Rolls Royce when I was a very young baby, but God knows how old I was. And Dad was in this nursing lark, you know. And that's, so he wasn't really affected. He was affected by the general strike, but in as much as he had to take what he could get. I mean, if he could get a job as a road sweeper, you took it, you know, you didn't in those days. But even today, I feel that half the unemployment is caused by people being too choosy about what they'd want to do. I mean, I've always reckoned, I said, and I'll bet anybody, that I would get a job within 24 hours. I don't care what it would be. It might be scrubbing the floor, might have been picking oakum, but I would get a job. And I have never been unemployed.
And you say you left school at 14?
Yes, I did.
That was choice, was it?
Yeah, no, it wasn't choice at all. No, every kid left school at 14. And the local council granted us 1 year's free evening classes. I could go to the Woolwich Polytechnic, or I could go to Welling Central School, and I went to Welling Central School in the evening. That was a continuation thing in the evening.
Was that vocational there?
Vocational, yes, that's all. That's why it didn't do much good, actually. But the lucky thing about, one of the lucky things in my life was that being a prefect, a firm in London, a chartered accountant, had asked the school if they could recommend any boys for employment in their office. And you've got to believe it. And I was recommended. I was sent to London, and I got the job. Dad bought me a brand new suit, all tarted up and everything. And I went to London, and I became an office boy in W.A. Brown's, Chartered Accountants.